We'll be in chapter 2 this evening, and let's just go right at it, and we'll begin reading in the 11th verse. And the Lord, I know, has such encouragement for us here this evening, and it's going to be by His Spirit that He's going to open our hearts and feed us in this. But in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us," and that word "teaching us" means training us up. See, we're His workmanship, and I'm thankful to God that this is what His grace does. It teaches us. It trains us up. You'll never grow without what? Grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what and how we grow is by grace. So grace teaches us that denying ungodliness, and I love that word denying. I'll just touch on it right now. It means to disavow. It's dead. That's over. That's not our life. So again, count it dead, and God encourage us in that life that we now live, but denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Here we go. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that should goes on, and we should be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I love this. Isn't it wonderful, praise be to God, that that grace, His grace, the grace that bringeth salvation, has appeared to all men. I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful to God. There's such unconditional love, for God so loved the world He gave. Amen. Jesus Christ died for the sins of all men. Hallelujah. And that great grace, that unconditional love, that acceptance to all, every man through the blood of Jesus, it's there for every man. It's there for all. And it's in that, brothers and sisters, that we know that every man is without excuse, because Jesus Christ is the way, Jesus Christ is the truth, and Jesus Christ is the life. And that's just the beginning of grace. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful because as we read and as we'll study into this tonight, this precious grace is all the all-encompassing power of our lives, from salvation to complete salvation. Complete salvation even into the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning, jointly glorified together with Him. Praise be to God, we're looking for a complete salvation right out of here in a twinkling of an eye. And that's going to be that blessed, most glorious, most wonderful appearing, praise His name. And we'll get to that in a moment. But this is what His grace does. This is what His grace performs. And nothing else will perform this in our lives. There's no good works. There's no joining of churches. There's no living a certain way. It's all by the grace of God. Acknowledging that, Lord, I can't do a thing, but praise be to God, You are the one that does everything. The grace performs, the grace builds, the grace finishes the masterpiece. And this is what we're getting at again tonight, and it will come out very evidently. The masterpiece is the Lamb's wife that will be offered to Him, hallelujah, as the Spirit brings her home, hallelujah. Now, we know we need His grace. And as this is encouraging us, we need even more grace. And we need grace every moment for everything. And it, matter of fact, tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, "And God," see, since we need grace, isn't it wonderful? Here's what God does. "And God is able to make all grace." Isn't that, it's not just some grace or part grace or you'll have grace. See, this is the God of all. Know that. We're at the time, praise God, of the message of being filled with all the fullness of God. So to be filled with all the fullness of God, you're going to need all grace. And we live in the time, praise be to God, of all grace. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved me. I have been given this life of Jesus Christ of all grace. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound, and that word is superabound, to every good work. Thank the Lord how he hits all the alls there. So you can't say, well, I didn't get it here, I didn't get it there. I got it all the time. And I got it in all sufficiency, I got it always, and that grace, praise be to God, God's grace is the super abounding power to be that full overcomer in Christ Jesus. And one thing I want you to note about this, in this ninth chapter, basically what Paul is speaking of right here even comes forward from the eighth chapter, and you'll notice there in the 16th verse who he makes mention of. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. They were yoke fellows. Praise be to God. That same great grace message was in both of these sweet vessels. That's why this is Titus the nurse. This is the one that encouraged Paul's heart so greatly. This was truly a joy boy. When Titus would come to see Paul, you could just see in the words that were coming out through the Holy Ghost as he wrote of Titus, what a joy to the heart of Paul Titus was to him. And see, that's what we want to be to one another, brothers and sisters. I want to be a joy to you. I want, by God's grace, to be a salve. I want to have honey. Hallelujah. You know, there'll be times, then yeah, we'll weep together. There'll be some sorrow, but thanks be to God, we abound in the hope. We don't sorrow as them that have no hope. And then we know that joy comes in the morning. But you see, this grace, brothers and sisters, this great, great grace, it reveals our need for Jesus. It reveals our weaknesses. It reveals, hallelujah, and grace shows us the utter dependence we have upon our Lord and Savior. See, what grace does, it doesn't just save us. Grace convicts our hearts, doesn't it? See, grace, again, it's this teaching, it's this chastening that teaches us how to live and how precious that Christ Jesus lives in us. That's how you live. But see, this grace convicts our heart to will and to do of His good pleasure. It causes us to lay hold of lovely things, and it causes us to flee the evil. Grace chastens us, grace moves our hearts closer to Him, and grace transforms us, hallelujah, into lives that are like Him. Isn't that wonderful? See, there's lots of ones that will want to learn truth, but they don't take the love. It's the truth and love. That's the grace of God. That's the Spirit and truth, brothers and sisters. And without that grace, you'll grow cold. Without that grace, you will not grow from glory to glory into His very image. Without grace, you will never grow. There are people that know the Word of God, and I'm so thankful, that know the bridal message. But I'll tell you what, they do not live and really know the grace of God. And they are stuck in things and stuck on things that are just tragic. And without grace, I'll tell you right now, you'll be bitter, you'll be judgmental, you'll be hateful, you'll be stuck in stuff you will never, ever get over. And that's the truth. So, if that's any one of us here tonight, what's the answer? Grace. Hallelujah. For everything. Amen. It's not going to be a think tank. It's not going to come together and let's have a lot of sessions. But grace of God, I'm going to point you to the grace of God. And that's what it is. And it's the word of His grace that transforms our life. But this portion of Scripture tonight, I have to tell you, is so very personal to my life. And I am so thankful that we've come to this. It's comforted me in many different ways. And the Lord has ministered to my heart so magnificently about this grace that causes us to flee and deny the very appearance of evil. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to be very personal with you tonight. Some would like to make it sound so easy sometimes. And I'm talking about, you know, the pious ones, the ones that know it all. Yet I'm going to testify to you in all honesty, brothers and sisters, that sometimes fleeing evil is not an easy thing. Can you imagine that? Now, I want to underscore right now, I am not preaching or advocating that we sin willfully, that grace may abound. That's not what this is. And I'm not preaching that we would give allowance to this weakened flesh, but I want you to know that's exactly what flesh is. It's weak. And you need to know that, and you need to identify that in the Word of God for yourself, not for an excuse, but for the need of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, to reign in your life. See, just quoting verses without the divine encouragement of the power of the Spirit, the weakness to sin remains in our life. The temptation, brothers and sisters, can become unbearable. And I do want to share some, I believe in my life, has been such monumental enlightening to the eyes of my heart about sin that reigns upon our life. And God has brought this to me in some precious things in my life. And I'm grateful how He, in spite of me, has taught me these things. But it's in His great grace that I've really asked Him in things and hard times where, you know, some things it was easy to let go of. Some things were easy to overcome. But some things just seem to stick around. And I'm here to tell you that I'm so grateful to God. He caused my heart to, Lord, let me see that wickedness. You know, sometimes we don't see or want to see how wicked that sin that's been reigning over us really is. And what I mean by that is, Lord, let me see it as You see it. Let me see it. I know God can't look upon sin in the nth degree, but I know one who knows sin better than anybody. And that's my precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who became sin for me. There's nobody who knows it like Him. There's nobody that will know that like Him. God and Him shared everything, but the one thing that only Jesus knows is what it is to be made sin for me. Something I will never know. You see what I'm saying? See, I'm not ignorant of the devil's devices, not because of me, but because of Christ in me. That's it. I told you this is personal. And Lord, I was encouraged of Him to see how horrid it is to see sin for what really sin is. And His faithfulness, praise God, gave me the strength to flee it. Now, I'm talking about things, brothers and sisters, that have been in our lives maybe for a long time that we've wanted deliverance from. But I'm going to tell you something. Until Christ in me, not me, but Christ in me was allowed to reign and confront the evil, only then I could truly come to grips with how putrid it was. Mean it. Amazing. Now, I know our minds can run. What does brother haunting him so? My unbelief, just like you. Huh? Amen. But see, when it actually became putrid, I'm talking about disgusting, hurtful, not to me, but to Christ in me. Who lives in you? Amen. Who knows this? Christ. But when that came, that enlightenment, that yielding, again, all by grace, praise be to God, that's when it was easy to flee. It's mighty. It is absolutely all-powerful. And I'm talking about testimonies that you've heard and testimonies you have gone through, brothers and sisters. I'm talking about lives that had been gripped by something for such a long time. And then bang, it was just done. I've heard the testimonies of folks in here, whether it was alcohol or anger, bitterness, being judgmental, angry, just hurtful, quick to criticize, critical spirits, things of that nature, ones that were haunted in a way. And you're just going to have to seek the Lord in these things, but things that you know you were hooked on. Doesn't have to just be drugs, it could be gossip. Things that have you. His brother spoke on the other night, idols. God, let me see how putrid they are. Let me see how disgusting that is. Let the stench of it make me sick. Think about things like that, that just smell so disgusting, you don't even want to look at it because you know how bad it's going to look. Huh? I'll be descriptive with you. Maybe, praise God, I'm getting a little bold like Brother Hill. But some maggot-infested thing, do you want to go cast your eyes upon that? Oozing, whatever it might be oozing? I don't need to see that. Just the smell alone would make me heave. My wife's not here. She's fun. She's easy to get to gag. She don't need to see that stuff. Oh, take care of that, honey. Most times she takes care of it. But there's some things that are just so disgusting. God help us to see that sin reigning in our lives. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I pray this really helps us tonight. I really do. Because it's so sweet. Because this is when Christ in us, brothers and sisters, takes the reins of our heart. And I'll tell you, when he takes the reins, he'll turn it. He'll turn it. You'll flee from it. You'll deny it. You'll disavow it. That's what that word deny means. I just love that. Praise God. I know that, Lord, you want to marry me. But see, we let that sin turn our stomach. And, I've said some things like this to some, and I should have just held my breath. God's teaching me a little bit more wisdom. Because, you know, there's some that don't have a problem with these kinds of things at all. Do you know that there's some, they don't even have any problem with temptation. They're just above those things. You know, light years ahead of you and me. But see, I'm going to be satisfied to preach to the weak. Amen? I think that's who Jesus was preaching to. And I think that that's the only ones that will hear this message. Those that are strong in themselves can stay completely immersed in that pile of pig mire. Because that's where they'll stay. They're completely stuck in it. And the stench of that is the most putrid thing to God. Because it's the dirty self righteousness. Now, in wrapping this up, I do encourage you, again, ask the Lord to reveal the stench of the sin that might be haunting your life. That's not who you are, see? You're born of God. You can't sin, neither can you sin. You don't commit sin, and I thank God how that is. But as David said, oh, Lord, before thee and thee alone have I sinned. And we examined that one time, and you understand that's not the same sinning as the sinner of death. That's the failure, the one that inflicted the wound. God help us to understand this. But it's vile, brothers and sisters. It's putrid to my life. But most importantly, it's putrid to my God. And I believe without a doubt we'll find ourselves leaving it when we leave it with God. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 139. And I think this will encourage your heart. As Brother David said so sweetly in verse 23, he says, "Search me, O God." Now, let me ask you something. Does the Lord already know you? You know he does. Now, was this for God's sake that he said, "Search me"? This was for David. This was for him. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you see what Christ in you and the power that is in your life, brothers and sisters, as we yield to the Spirit? That we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Christ in us sees the sin as it is. And Christ in us, praise be to God, searches it out. And praise be to God, that great grace, Christ in me, the hope of glory, causes me to will and to do of His good pleasure. We can, by God's grace, lay aside every weight. We can, by God's grace, run well and leave it all behind. Now, see, only grace can supply this, because grace is the power. Grace of it is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And then when His life lives and reigns and takes the reins of our hearts, brothers and sisters, oh my, the full overcomer in Christ appears. And that's really what it is. I am thankful to the Lord that God has protected me from ones that want to preach accountability. I was even being told of ones that try to be so pious as to how, oh, this certain, it's hard for me to even use the word pastor, and I'll have to say preacher, was how he was to be compensated and how everybody got together to count up the offering together and how we all take accountability together and what God has done, what God has given, how God has encouraged this meeting. This is the Lord's. Brothers and sisters, you nor me nor anyone else in my strength could be accountable to anything. Oh, I thank God for His grace to us. I thank God for how His grace has taught us. It's trained us. Because of lives, hallelujah, that God has given us, teachers and preachers and a precious pastor in Brother Hill. I'm thankful to the Lord that, you know, ones can look at lives and say lots of things. But I'm so grateful for lives that pointed me to the one thing that will only help me in growing in Jesus Christ, and that's His grace. It's beyond explaining, but the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and quit all the other nonsense. Quit from it. Stop it. It will only defeat you. And then, as we go back to chapter 2, that's the life that comes forth, brothers and sisters, in verse 12. That teaching us, that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Here we go. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You want to live like that? It's got to be grace. Isn't that wonderful? It's the grace of God again that's teaching us, that's training us up. You'll never put a bunch of rules in front of you and say, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to do this. It doesn't work. And even if you think it works, you become a dried up nothing. There's no joy in you, there's no love, there's no life of Jesus that's reigning. That's just you by your might and strength. Oh, I'm going to get it done. And you won't get it done. And it will be ugly. It will be something that is destructive. It'll be destructive to other lives too. And that's the sad thing. God stop you from that. It's the grace of God. Hallelujah. And in that grace, we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And there are many things to talk about in this 12th verse, but I want to talk about the Trinity here. Soberly, righteously, and godly. Soberly, the Holy Ghost. You want to be awake? You want to be alive? You know when you were the most awake and alive in your life? Most joyous, happy, incredible in passion, naturally speaking? When you're in love. Nobody here can deny it. You see all those movies and those little animals and Walt Disney jumping up 50 feet in the air. But you know what the lovers of his soul, praise God, are. They're lightnings and thunderings. Are you a lightning and a thunder? Go read Revelation. Go read about the cherubim. They're fervent, passionate. Hallelujah. This is this soberly. And only the Holy Ghost can wake you up. Break up that ice on a pew. Not be a mossy back. Because you never moved off of it. Amen, amen, amen. Your life needs to learn to thunder here for him. And praise be to God, by grace you'll thunder over there. But see again, this is what happens when we're in love. And who's the one that causes us to fall in love with Jesus Christ? It's the Holy Ghost. Takes the love and he sheds it abroad in your heart. And I'm so grateful to God for the passion for ones to be filled with the Holy Ghost here. But it doesn't stop there. The passion to be full of the Holy Ghost. And brothers and sisters, we have a life that we mark. And it's Brother Paul. Follow me as I follow Christ. Read those things. Praise God. I'm not in any imitation, because it's the same life that lives in me that lived in Paul. And allowing that great grace of God to have that joy unspeakable and full of glory. That there is, this is serious. This is a fight, a good faith. And it's fighting the good fight. And you are a good soldier and you're going to endure that hardness. But you don't get caught up in the myrrh. You don't get caught up in the fighting. Praise be to God, you get caught up in the victory. He's mine. Hallelujah. He's coming for me. And thank you, Lord, I know this is the way that I must take. But see, that's the love when it's shed abroad in our hearts, that we live expecting him, yearning for him, and loving his appearing. Amen. Now, that second one, righteously. That's Jesus. He's righteous. He's been made for us the very righteousness of God. So now, brothers and sisters, may we just get over it and count him. Reckon it. Hallelujah. The life that is in us is the very righteousness of God, because Christ liveth in me. And I'm so grateful to God that now I am accepted in the Beloved. Not just someday. Not just, well, did I have a good day or did I not? I'm always accepted because I'm a son. Because of the righteousness of God. And see, that leads you right into the next one, which is godly. And who's that? That's the Father. And I'm so thankful that that works so powerfully in us, that we are born of God. Hallelujah. I'm godly. That's my Father. That's the DNA I got. I'm an heir. And you are too, as a child of God. And hallelujah, growing up into this, my oh my. The Trinity at work in us. The unction of the Trinity working in us. Through the power of his might working in us. We might even grow into ones filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Occupying, yes, a readied wife. I'm thankful to the Lord that, again, he transforms us. It's his life in us that, again, just expands and grows and takes control of our lives. We become like him. You may have been this brash one. As you grow in the Lord, you'll become meek. You might have been this one that was quick to anger. You grow in him. Let me tell you something. You'll be tempered. Not have a temper. You'll be tempered. You'll be slow to wrath. Now that doesn't mean you don't stand up in the things of God. But I'm thankful to the Lord. You'll learn because of the instruction of grace to Christ in you, who you really are. That you are long-suffering because of Christ in you. That you'll quit thinking about, well, this is how I am. This is my personality and how I'm geared. No. I'm thankful to the Lord. I know that I might be weak in certain areas, and you're going to be weak in certain areas, because the Lord knows exactly what we need. Those thorns. But that's not the excuse to fail. That's really the need to yield. Because it's just like David prayed, search me, O Lord, not for your sake, but for mine. And lead me in this way everlasting. Now, not someday, now my everlasting, living the heavens in Christ right now. You know, praise the Lord, that my citizenship is in heaven right now. That Christ in me is the hope of glory right now. That's my life. And that's the transforming power of each and every one of us. That's the oneness that we have in him. That as we grow, we won't become like one another. No, we'll become like him. Isn't that wonderful? And as we become like him, we will become like one another, because it's his body. Isn't it precious? You see, these ones that mature in the Lord, the ones that God has given us to mark them as examples, you know who they're like? They're like in following Paul as he followed Christ. They're like Jesus. Aren't they? Sure they are. Kind. Giving. They're not stingy. They're not mean. They're not critical. But they're wise. They're slow to speak a lot of times, but when they speak, let me tell you something. It's words of love. And the love of God is strong, and it's got strength, because it stands and withstands, and having done all, stands. That's what love is. Now, that leads us right into verse 13 and how this becomes alive in our lives. And notice, where did it all come from? Grace. Amen? Amen. So see, it's the grace of God that transforms us and teaches us that's not the life that we live is ungodliness. That's not who we are, ones that would run after worldly lust. That's not us. That's a lie. That's the lie. You might be doing that. I might be doing that. But that's not who we are in Jesus. That's not Christ in me. I know that. So why give over to that lie? Just disavow that. That's a dead thing. Because grace teaches me that. See, not good works teach me that in myself, because I don't have any good work. I just have filthy work. My self-righteousness will never allow me to live soberly. Loving Jesus like I should, loving his life, loving his grace will never be that, would it? I'd love myself. I'd love my strength. I'd love my dirty, filthy rags. Yeah, that's right. So now, here we have this grace that's performing all these things in our life. And as we live soberly, as we just take on and live in that righteousness, hallelujah, that he's been made to us, and that godliness that we have been born into, all by grace, look at what happens. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I just love it. And I'm so thankful how that even brings it out. Do you see the three types that you even see in that? You see him, I hope you know this, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. That glorious appearing means the most glorious, the most exalted appearing. Well, you know what that is. That's the one thing that Paul said. If by any means I might attain to that resurrection. Because he knew that that was the most glorious appearing. That's the appearing of the sun glory ones. There will be no glory like that appearing. Because those are the ones that are going to see, when they see him, they're going to be like him. You talk about blinding. Can you imagine? No, you can't. But by the Spirit, he gives me a vision. Yes, he does. Because it's his and what he wants here. Oh, my goodness. But see, you see that you see him as bridegroom. I am the great God. And praise be to God, the Lamb, my precious Savior. Oh, I love how Jesus is to me. And that's how he is. But see, this glorious appearing, this blessed hope, literally is the catching away of the bride. The appearing of his glory. Now, I'll tell you what. That can only be the first trump appearing. Because that's the ones, again, that will be that precious sun glory. Every man in his own order. This is the ones that, praise be to God, will be ruling and reigning, that are seated in the midst of the throne with him, those four living ones. They're fiery. Did you know that? Yes, they are. If you ever know this, the planets and the celestial bodies and all of that, they reflect. The moon reflects. But suns have the fiery in them. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? See, he knew all that because he said them in there. And that's why he said the word of God about the ones that will have the sun glory. Hallelujah. But see, this is just as the letter to Timothy, when we read in 2 Timothy 4:8, this is the crown to all them also that love his appearing. Turn with me over to 2 Thessalonians 2:19. I think this will thrill your heart and kind of make a little reminder of when we were back over there. I think I got the wrong verse. There is it. 2:19? No. Where I'm looking for there is that hope. First Thessalonians 2:19. There we go. Thank you, Lynn. And it says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Our not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, for ye are our glory and joy. See, that's it, brothers and sisters. That's our hope, our joy. That's the crown of rejoicing. That's the crown ones, the ones that are going to receive that crown of righteousness, that exalted rank, praise be to God, the most glorious exalted appearing. This is what this is about. To be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Hallelujah. It's all there, isn't it? Many times over, encouraging us all along to run well. But see, most sleep through this. Most don't want to see these types of things. But you see, but only by the power of the Trinity are we going to be encouraged and abide as this readied wife. And the Lord was encouraging me, honey, you need this grace to abide in the state of glory readiness. See, I want to be in glory readiness. How about you? See, that's what this is, the glory readiness. And glory readiness, brothers and sisters, is a complete, perfect, full-grown, filled with all the fullness of God readiness. He captivates your thoughts, doesn't he? You know this because he's transforming our lives for this. See, this is his purpose. This is his will. This is his plan. He's provided everything for us. And praise be to God. Now we have been touched with the very power of his might. The love, grace of God to ready us for his glorious appearing. I love it. And he's getting it done. And we're seeing this come to pass. We're seeing the word of God come forth. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful to God. As the Lord said, as you see these things come to pass in the world, I appreciate that. But the most glorious thing that we're seeing come to pass is what we're reading about right here in the saints. These are the ones. This is loving the appearing of the Lord. I love it. This is his body. This is his glorious body. This is the chaste virgin body to Christ. You understand? That precious bride. And she's coming forth. And thank the Lord that we're witnessing in our midst ones that are readying for the rapture. Hallelujah. Now, let's go over to verse 14. It says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, it's so wonderful there, because even Sunday, when we were talking about the two wives, that the wife of the Father and the wife of Jesus Christ, and you think of the wife of the Father, you know, the Jew, a peculiar people. And here we go, a peculiar people, but we're going to read about what that peculiar means here in just a minute. But see, once again, I love how this brings it out. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, brothers and sisters. See, this confirms and satisfies once again. He paid the price. He paid the price. You know, I'm telling you, I am so thankful that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I'm so glad that it wasn't me. I'm so glad that it wasn't you. And I'm so glad it's some of these that they are Christians. They do believe in eternal security. But I'm telling you, I know that if it was up to them, some Christians, nope, you still didn't meet the mark. You were so wicked, we're just going to have to send you to hell. And it's so sad. And they know better, but they still have a hard attitude that they're not going to forgive. What does Jesus Christ remember about your sin? Nothing. Can't. The Father, when he looks at you, sees his Son. He sees perfection. Praise be to God. Now, again, this is what he's telling us. I've paid the price. I've met all the requirements for your redemption. That has to be settled. And thank God, rejoiced in and given thanks for all the time, because that's, again, part of the growing in the grace of God. The foundation's laid, but it doesn't mean that we don't always give thanks for the foundation. Amen. Thanking him, rejoicing in him, that, again, that whom he has made free is free indeed. I am justified, and here we go, and by his grace even purified. And if by his grace I will just lay hold of what he has finished and trust in the grace of God that will build us up even into a perfect man, as the word of God says, fully furnished in every good work, he'll complete in me a readied wife. That is as simple as it is. By his grace. And oh my, now we come to a most peculiar people. And that peculiar people, it means a people for his possession. A people for his possession. This is the people for his name's sake. This is so wonderful, because now we're right back into Timothy 2:21. A vessel solely for the use of the master. These are ones that truly are just shut up to him. Brothers and sisters, we're getting into the time. Because Jesus is coming. He's pressing upon our hearts. It's cherubim time only in the Holy of Holies. Do you sense sometimes? Thank you, God, that it's like when the smoke was starting to rise up in there with the cherubim on the mercy seat. And it said that the smoke filled the temple so much that even the priests had to go. And I just love that. Because there's a time of that fervent love that the only ones that are going to remain are Christ and his bride. Now see, that's going on even in type right now. Brothers and sisters, the heat's on. And it is. The smoke's rising, people choking. All this stuff is just spinning off and things flying apart. And I'm not even talking in the world. I'm talking about sometimes in our families. Ones we love so much. Ones that we've, you know, sought the Lord with in different things. But, you know, we're with our lover now. It's time to settle down. I kind of remember there are a lot of sweet friends, and I still have sweet friends. But we had close buddy relationship, and we'd go do this, and we'd go do that, and we'd have all this fun, and we'd do this together, and just got married, and it wasn't that I had to say I can't do that anymore. It's just I don't want to do that no more. I want to be with her. I want to be with him. And I don't have time to mess around because I don't want to. I want to be with him. I don't want to be distracted, see? I don't want to be, again, caught up in worldly lusts. Think about the time of worldly lust we're in right now. We go through all of these different things all the time. I mean, sometimes we have an economy that's doing real great. And there's worldly lust. Oh, I'm going to get mine now. Huh? Yeah. And then we have the worldly lust. We got the political thing going on. Oh, well, this is where I'm going with. And this is how this is going to straighten everything out. And this is all that. That's a bunch of hooey. It won't. You have to let that go, and that could be your worldly lust. We don't have time for those things. We just don't. And again, that sin that so easily besets us, I really want to emphasize this tonight. It's convicting my heart more and more all the time. It's me. It's myself. That's what so easily besets my life, is myself. Thinking of myself, thinking of what I need, thinking of what needs to be right, thinking of, again, sometimes even my hurts. Woe is me. I'm not making light of that. I know in my life there's times that, naturally speaking, I really deserve some pity. But don't, because that would only hurt me. There's a precious cross for me to take up to win him. And the only one way I'm going to win him is deny that old thing. Denying self. We come together. We hear this message. But brothers and sisters, the time is now. Do we really want to win him? Is the mark for the prize of the high calling of God my message? Is it my proposal? Is it my life? It's time then to lay aside the weights. And hallelujah, I thank God I see it working in us. Grace. It's not through attendance, but see, praise the Lord, when you fall in love with him, you want to hear his truth. You want to come together more and more. It will work effectually in you. Again, I go back. I don't really know how to express it sometimes for types for people, but you know, when you're a kid, giddy and doing your courting and everything, did you ever really want to miss a date? I mean, it just really chapped your hide when I couldn't get with my honey. What? I got to do what? I was supposed to be where? Huh? See? This is why you begin to love the assembling of ourselves, because you talk about honey time. It's honey time, isn't it? Hallelujah. So this precious fervent love, brothers and sisters, this grace is what makes her, molds her. This is that teaching that we started with in verse 12, this training up. We're trained up in love, aren't we? We're not trained up in do's and don'ts. We're trained up in Jesus loves me, this I know. And boy, when he loves you like that, again, you respond to love. See, you know, some people can say, well, you respond to guilt and respond to this. Yeah, you do, but you're always in fear. You never grow. You're always like this. You're cowering. You never blossom. See that beautiful blossom? It opens up. It's free. It responds because that's what love is. But see, grace then, that love makes us fervent, as it says there in verse 14. It makes us fervent. That means zealous for good works. Isn't that something? See, desirous to walk in those before ordained good works that we should walk therein. And see, lots of people think of good works as saying, oh yeah, I'm going to go out and do this and do that. No, I'm talking about desirous, as Brother Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. That's the best work that it could ever be in your life. Did you know that? Because that's when the very power of Christ is resting upon your life. See, when you love Him, you'll walk in that, won't you? Not just walk in it, you'll be thankful as you walk in it. You'll be thankful, Lord, you know what? I am very weak. Lord, I thank you, God, that I can't do this. I thank you, Lord, that this has to be you. Lord, this hurts. But Lord, I know that this is divinely the way that you will have me to take. And whatever lot you choose for my life, I know it's going to be the glory life. And grace will cause me to want it and to want only that for my life. And verse 15, we wrap up with these things: speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. See, brothers and sisters, only these things by grace may we profess, may we preach. I thank the Lord sometimes I am tempted in certain respects. Thank God not to give in to it. And we pray one for another. Oh, brother, why don't you preach this or preach that? My goodness, Lord, help us. I don't want to preach anything else. I want to preach the best. We've got it. Hallelujah. It's got us. Yes, and we're apprehending it. See, this is the win him doctrine. I don't want to preach anything else to people. This is the if by any means I might attain to the first trump rapture message. Don't settle for anything else. And it says here in the Word of God, take the authority of my grace and love and exhort and rebuke. And I'm going to tell you, those that I appoint to come in and out of your life. See, I don't need to go out and stand on a big old bucket and tell people about this. He's guiding my life. He'll bring those people into our lives or out of our lives and those types of things. And, you know, there's ones that have come into the meeting lately and different. I want to see them take hold. And I do. But you know what, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to chase you down. The Lord, He does the chastening, and He does, but if we're not going to respond to it, brothers and sisters, we have to run for ourselves, and we do. And God help us to understand that. And in running, and again, seeking Him first, and loving Him, and being willing by God's grace, because it's just so wonderful, how could we not leave the familiar? My brother, my sister, my father, my mother. When we really see how wonderful He is. And then that's testimony. Then when people really look and God enlightens the eyes of their understanding and they look at your life, that had to be Jesus. That had to be Jesus. I appreciated Michelle Coe. There was a man that came here many years ago and might be this man that never accepted Christ as Savior. But he came into this meeting for many times. And still basically one that would question if God exists or anything. And he didn't even know that Michelle was Brother Hill's granddaughter. And this is many years ago. And God again had a divine appointment of her walking over there in Grand Junction. And the one thing he did say, and again, when he said this, he never even knew that he was saying this to her, being Brother Hill's granddaughter. And he was talking about this pastor that used to turn red in face as he would give messages. And he was a farmer. And he said, Well, I don't know if God really exists, but one thing I will say about that guy, if there was ever one that was convinced that he did live, it was him. Now, that's the life I want to live. And there'd be people that say, oh, I've had some this week, and I pray for them because they're caught in something that is deadly. Deadly. But we'll wrap it up here. And what he's really saying here at the end, I'm warning all those that may think otherwise around you. Don't despise my vessels. Exhort, appreciate them even more. But as the Lord encourages us on, brothers and sisters, even if they don't by grace, may we continue on in well-doing. Amen? I don't need the accolades of man. I got the I am on my side. And I want to keep having a heart attitude. And again, that's only by grace. I can't help but preach this. I cannot help but preach it. This is all I see in the scriptures. As I've said many times before, you know, once you see that picture that was hidden in all of those geometric shapes and colors, it's hidden in there. And then somebody points it out to you. Maybe it's an eagle flying. Maybe it's a horse running. Every time they get that picture out, that's all I see. I don't see those figures anymore. I don't see any of those colors or whatever. I just see him. I see that man that he wants me to be, like him. And I can only preach that. And by grace, I pray I will never preach anything else. Amen? Yep. One day it will be the last time. And then face to face with him forevermore. And what a time that will be. Let's stand and be dismissed.